Good morning, welcome. Today is our fourth week now of the Lenten season, and our focus of our service is that the repentant sinner, which I pray would be each and every one of us, we rejoice at being found in the loving embrace of our Father's full and free forgiveness. May God bless our time in His Word today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him, and we deserve only His wrath and punishment. And therefore we turn to our Lord and confess our sins, pleading for His mercy. O merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you. I do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. Friends, our Heavenly Father has forgiven us all of our sins. By the perfect life, the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed our guilt forever. We are His own dear children. May God give us the strength to live according to His will. Amen. Then we collect our thoughts in prayer. Almighty God, we confess that we do deserve to be punished for our evil deeds, but we ask you graciously to cleanse us from all sin, to comfort us with your salvation, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to our lessons for today. Our first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 12. We'll hear the first six verses. Because of God's amazing grace, fear is replaced with joyful singing. The prophet writes, "In that day you will say, 'I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you." This is God's word. We have a reading from the epistle lesson for today, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul tells us it seems foolish to the unbeliever that the glorious message of the cross is revealed to the repentant heart as the power of God, the salvation of souls. Therefore, we preach Christ crucified. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased, through the foolishness of what was preached, to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. This is the Word of God. Our confession of faith is the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This is God's message to us today, as we take a look at our gospel, the gospel from St. Luke, chapter 15. We'll look at verses 11 through 24. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So the father divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, again, because it's on a tape recorder, or here you can't see, but in my hand I'm holding a box. Doesn't look like much, but at times what's inside this box is very precious. And if it's precious to the owner, that owner is going to come and find it, because this is a lost and found box. It's about the only thing we have here at church. We don't have a lost and found department. We just have this little box. And for the most part, not much is in it. But whenever something very important, precious, has been lost, we've been contacted to see if it's been found. Today we have one of the greatest parables of Jesus. It might be called the parable of the prodigal son. But our eyes are focused on the Father, who seeks after him, who seeks after the one who is lost, his son. It is the Father who's the main character of the parable, and his constant love for his son is the main point. The Father represents God, our Heavenly Father. And as we look at the parable, we cannot help but see ourselves as the prodigal son. We ourselves were lost, but we're found. Let me just take a few moments about this parable. I didn't read the entire story that Jesus told. It goes on to speak about the conversation the father had with the second son. Remember, the opening line was he had two boys. That second son is not happy at all with the willingness of the father to forgive that wayward first child, the first son. But we're going to focus today on the first son, and we're going to focus on the Father's love toward him. And again, Jesus is speaking to this parable to those who thought they were better than others, and chastising Jesus for spending time with those who, to others, seem to be living a sinful life. And that's where we see ourselves today. We see ourselves as lost, but the love of a father who searched for us and who found us. And it's because of God the Father and his love for us that each and every one of us rejoice. Rejoice in knowing that we are found. The parable starts with a young man. Just you can picture him looking longingly out to the fields, to the horizon, constantly dreaming of something more exciting, something more fulfilling than just living there at home, living with dad, living with the rules, the regulations, whatever they might be. And finally, his dreaming hatched a plan. Our text said the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So the father divided his property between them. Just imagine that. The kid was saying, "Dad, I'm tired here. I'm bored with this. I think there's more out there. And you aren't dead yet. And I want to get going with the life. Therefore, I want my portion of the inheritance." Amazingly enough, his dad went along with it. All his dad could do was, with a heavy heart, give his son what he wanted, and he let him go. And maybe our question would be is, why did the father not stop him? Why did the father not just say, "You know, go to your room"? Well, again, who does the Father represent? It's our Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father does not force himself on us. He directs us as to how he wants us to live. But if we choose to disregard that, have it your way. And we know there's consequences. We go on in our lesson. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Think about it. First of all, the kid had to go off for a distant country. He had to leave. In order for him to live the way he wanted to live, he had to go away from the restraints of dad. He had to be away from the rules. He had to be somewhere else where he would not be reminded of what is right and what is wrong. He'd be able just to enjoy his life. But what was he doing? He was also separating himself from the place where his father's love was. Now, this is a story that has replayed itself over and over again. It's a dangerous story. Well, some say it's a particular sin of youth for a person to feel he has to be another place, away from parents, in order for him or her to find themselves, to be able to do their things, to be able to enjoy life. Ask sad-hearted parents for the details of what they've gone through. But it's more than that. It's not just the youth. It's anyone. Any person's heart leans toward a life that goes away from God. That person inevitably separates themselves from the Lord. Ask any pastor for those details. That individual stays away from church, for instance, because church would be a constant reminder of God's will for them, which they know they are breaking. But at the same time, they find themselves also separated from the constant message of God's love. And there's danger. A willful separation from God and a willful playing around with a life of sin destroys saving faith. We maybe can look back in our own lives and see how we have traveled a little too far down a road like that kid did at one time or another. Because that kid's story is my story. It's your story. You know what the story is about. It's slapping our Father in heaven in the face with our sins and wasting his grace with our selfishness. It doesn't matter what you've done. I don't need to mention the various scenarios that you perhaps have done in your life. You know them. And you can go through each and every commandment that our Lord has given to us, and you can put a check mark there and say, yes, I have done it. Sin separates us from our Heavenly Father. The next scene that we see in our text then is that it takes us to the end of the road, the place to where sin often leads. They say for some, it might be a physical problem. Maybe it's a family problem. Maybe it's a financial problem, maybe a behavioral problem. But they'll say the person has to hit rock bottom before they realize how bad the problem really is. Well, the same can be true of spiritual problems. It happened to this young kid. His money ran out, and so did his so-called friends. He was lost. It's a terrible thing to be lost. Maybe you can remember a time or two in your own childhood where you lost sight of your parents, you felt lost. Maybe as a parent or grandparent, you lost sight of a child and it hurt you. It was an overwhelming concern in your heart. So also it is for our Father in heaven. We continue. When the little boy or the kid came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your child. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. What do you notice with those words? How about those last three words? He got up. The Lord's law had done its work. It cold-cocked this kid by showing him his sin, by making him feel guilt, by leading him to despair. And when you're flat on your back, there's all you can do is look up. And then as you look up, there standing above you is your Lord. And he reaches his hand down, grabs your hand, and pulls you up. And so let's look at the Father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. Remember how the kid was looking out the window or looking out the fields, looking for a better life? Well, he's not the only one that we see looking down the window. Our parable takes us back to the family home where the father wakes up, even if he slept that night, who knows? He wakes up with the hope in his heart. Every day his eyes look to the horizon. Suddenly, the sadness, the weariness in those eyes change to joy and excitement. Dad flies out of the house. He runs as fast as his legs could take him. And then comes the moment when Dad and the son fall in each other's arms. And they embrace, they hug for a long, long time. Dad, Dad, I'm so sorry. I sinned against you. I sinned against God. And Dad says what? It's okay, son. I love you. And so does God. This child has just been out in the fields feeding pigs. Didn't matter. There was no smell to that kid at all for this father. He hugged him. And that's why we love this parable. Because it's our Heavenly Father who loves us. We've all been there. And the cross is the unconditional love that God has for us. It's the unconditional forgiveness that is ours. And that love is as good as it gets. That, my friends, is the story of the lost kid. He found his way home. He found his way home because of the love of his father. My friends, we find our way home. We'll find our way home because of the love of our Heavenly Father. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.